Glad to be with you today. It's a good day outside. I've read so many things on this before, just over the years, but this one I just came across, and I find it very interesting. It comes from Mark David of Nourishing Wisdom. And just listen to this right here. In one fascinating experiment, scientists deprived a group of test rats of taste sensation. Now, I don't know what that means in this study. I don't know if they gave the rats Purina rat chow that had no flavor, or if maybe they altered their perception of taste by maybe surgical ablation of the nerve that controls the sense of taste. I don't know. But anyway, here's a group of test rats. They can't taste their food. Both this group and a control group were placed on normal rat diets. And in a short time, the taste-deprived rats all died, whereas the rats that could taste their food, they continued to live. When the rats were autopsied, scientists could find only one cause of death: clinical malnutrition. The scientists could come up with only one explanation, that there are important yet unknown physiological connections between taste and health. Similarly, hospital patients fed intravenously or through feeding tubes that bypass the mouth often report a nagging hunger for taste. Though the mechanisms that govern these phenomena are little understood, this much is certain: to be fully nourished by food, we must experience it through tasting and chewing. Now, I don't know exactly where I'm going with this, but I can tell you what I'm thinking. There's a lot of people, they do not like food that has flavor, but I'm not one of those people, and most likely you're not either. But I'm just curious. The more flavorful spices and seasonings that you can apply to foods, I think that's where you're going to have better health. Could you imagine if you had like yellow curry that contained curcumin, cumin, turmeric, mustard? That stuff is fabulous for you. I mean, we're just now really learning that these spices that you add to food, whether it's paprika or cinnamon or salt or black pepper, cayenne, chili powder, all these things are fabulous. So you can put it to the test. If you want to live a long, fruitful life, start using and experimenting with spices in order to get the job done. I bet you're going to be a walking, talking testimony of one of the reasons why I'm doing so well is I'm consuming things that are very, very good for my body. And just because we don't understand the entirety of it doesn't make it not true. Now, let me read this to you. I got this from a book called Isaac Asimov's Book of Facts. It's so interesting. Well, there's a section on medicine, and I just read a short piece about Florence Nightingale. It says here that Florence Nightingale served only 2 years of her life nursing soldiers. But here's the punchline. She was so weakened by a fever contracted during her service in the Crimean War that she spent the last 50 years of her life as an invalid. Oh my goodness. Now, there's a message in there somewhere. You know, obviously, in a perfect world, a person would be able to care for themselves. And if they have a health problem, they should set their mind to studying that problem, becoming very curious, doing their own research, trying to figure it out, and finding, what can I do to help myself? You know, I hear the same thing over and over again. I do not want to take pharmaceutical drugs. I don't like the side effects. They make me sick. I think I heard a woman yesterday say, I became nauseous and wanted to throw up every time I would take this particular medication. Of course, they usually prescribe another medication on top of that one that caused the side effects to treat the side effects. Anyway, but you realize it's your moral responsibility to take care of yourself. Yes, I've had periods in my life that I haven't done near as well as I should have. But then again, that gives me a chance to come to reality and say, okay, Roy, what are you doing here? Take better care of yourself. If you take really good care of yourself and you have good health, that's really your number one ticket to being productive. Let's just say you have the job of your dreams and you love it, okay? Well, your ability to show up to work, I don't care what it is. Maybe you're a plumber, an electrician. You could be a police officer, a fireman, a carpenter. You could be the world's greatest nurse. You could be the most excellent stay-at-home mother, which I'm not so sure that's not one of the hardest jobs of all time. You could be a lawyer, a mayor, whatever it is, school teacher. Your health is your ticket to doing everything that God has set in front of you and everything that you should be doing. That's one of the reasons why it's so important to be a good student of health. You think you know everything about this? Of course you don't. You got to be open-minded. It helps if you're very curious. I like it when people are curious. A lot of times doctors don't. Somebody walks into the doctor's office and says, "Hey, doctor, what do you think about gymnema or cinnamon or bitter melon or zinc or chromium or selenium for treating diabetes?" And they go, "You shouldn't be doing that. Let me do the doctor stuff here." That's ridiculous. You need to be curious and be your own best advocate. You know, I've heard so many stories from hospice care nurses. And this is one of the stories that I hear frequently, and it just boggles my mind. So you have a person that's too weak to even get out of bed. They can't go to the bathroom. They're at the final moments of their life. And so a lovely hospice care nurse will offer them water or maybe a different type of beverage, food. What can we do to help make you comfortable? And they refuse all of it. But the one thing they insist on taking is that stupid statin drug till the very end. Yeah, I said stupid. Really, what difference is it going to make if you take atorvastatin or Lipitor or Zocor or Vitorin or Crestor? If you take that the last 30 minutes of your life, really? You mean you won't drink water? You won't eat food? You won't take phone calls, but you'll raise your lip, you'll pull your mouth open and sip just enough of a Coca-Cola to get the Lipitor down? Right. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but that's how it is. Does that show you how we're kind of programmed the wrong way? I was at the bookstore yesterday. I know I'm jumping from topic to topic, but I was reading a person saying that homeopathy is just pure garbage and doesn't work, and I'm going, well, for the people it works for, it's a pretty doggone good remedy. I've seen it work over and over and over again. I think I had one young mother recently. The child had, what was the deal? I want to say the child was having night terrors. And the young girl was probably hearing voices, and these voices, they weren't real. I mean, I don't think they were real. Maybe they were. But I told the mother, because of the child's diet and what the child had been through drug-wise, that we might want to try a homeopathic remedy called Nux Vomica. Is this really a placebo effect for a 3-year-old if they get well? I don't think so. Homeopathy can be fabulous many times. I'm a believer. Anyway, so when I read this about Florence Nightingale, she only really served 2 years of her life as a world-class nurse during the Crimean War. But because of her giving everything to take care of others, she spent the next 50 years as a weakened, sick, fever-induced invalid. Isn't that a horrible way to go? So there's only so much you can do to sacrifice and take care of other people. It really helps if they're willing to take care of themselves. But what do you do with somebody that's not willing to take care of themselves? That's a tough call. Maybe you're undoing. If you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. That's 903-586-5257. And let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm great, thanks.
Great, great. I called last week and you answered a question for me. This week, I have a friend that's developed polyps in his bladder. My wife had that problem and had 16 surgeries removing those polyps, and they kept reoccurring. Is there a common thing that causes that in our diet that we're eating, or is it...
Absolutely.
Solution.
If a person is consuming a substance that's very toxic to the urinary tract, polyps are going to form as a way to try to help contain that toxin or deal with it. And so let me give you a couple ideas. I know this is going to sound crazy the way that I'm saying this, but just kind of hear me out here.
Okay.
There is a medical organization / treatment insurance provider in California called Kaiser Permanente. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, I have not.
It'd probably be the equivalent of like Blue Cross Blue Shield running medical clinics or something in the state of California. Well, they found a very interesting finding. They showed that men that had contact, these were just men, adult men. There were no women in this group. But adult men that had contact with marijuana once a week, they had absolutely the lowest amount of urine, bladder polyps, and bladder cancer. Now, I'm not trying to make a big deal about that. All I'm saying is maybe they were consuming a substance that acted as an antioxidant or had a healing effect on the body. That's the only reason I'm bringing that up.
Right.
But if I turn the tables, you know who absolutely has the highest amount of bladder problems? It's people that have contact. Usually it's farmers. They have an herb, insecticide, pesticide license. You know, if somebody has cows and they want to, like, spray the fences with Roundup or they want to spray for bugs around the dairy or something. But those that have pesticide licenses, they absolutely have the highest amount of bladder problems of any group of people that I've ever read about before. So you know there's something toxic.
Absolutely.
And so one of the things we've been taught is stuff like Diet Coke or Coke Zero or Zero Dr. Pepper, I can't remember what it's called really, is actually safe and good for us. But what they don't realize is that artificial sugar is just pure toxins. And it's not enough to kill you like with one drink of a Coke, but if you do it over and over and over again, eventually you're going to find your kidneys and your bladder, they're going to say, we've had enough. We can't do this stuff any longer. Now, if it were me, this is what I'd say.
Right.
One of the ways that you try to clear polyps from the urinary bladder is you try to greatly reduce the amount of high oxalate food. Sometimes it's called oxalic acid. Another name of it is calcium oxalate. And that's usually going to come from things like spinach, white potatoes, and nuts of any kind. So if a person's eating peanut butter and almond jelly sandwiches all day long, with french fries and a spinach, that's probably going to add insult to injury. But polyps are going to form because either a person's taking a pharmaceutical drug or they're getting chemicals from something that they're eating. That's one of the reasons why trying to clean up the diet and have more of a whole food diet is one of the best things you can do to correct bladder problems.
Well, if you clean up your diet, will those polyps go away or disappear?
Well, if they're real small, I've seen them go away. Sometimes polyps can become so large, they kind of pass the point of no return. I mean, you've heard of somebody having a polyp in their colon so large the person couldn't have a bowel movement. Well, they might have to surgically go in and trim it off or clip. Yeah, exactly. They may have to remove it. And so I've seen it both ways, but there's a homeopathic remedy called Arnica Montana. I'm telling you, if this person had bladder pain, bladder discomfort, if there was a hard time passing their water or their urine, they got nothing to lose by giving up all drug-laden chemical foods. That's basically fast food. By the way, I'm looking across the street right now at the drive-thru of a fast food restaurant.
You're standing right up.
That's right. There is no lack of cars lined up to go through. Now, I'm not trying to be critical, but there's a chemical. Well, we are. We really are. It's just unbelievable. So I usually tell people the hardest thing on the bladder of all time is going to be either soft drinks or sugar. It just makes everything so acidic in the urinary tract. And so if a person just gives up soft drinks, you know, another thing that can do this, I'm never trying to say that coffee's bad, because I think that coffee actually has some good properties to it and has rich antioxidants, but there's always a level that if you drink too much of it, you start washing out all the good nutrients and the vitamins and especially the minerals, and you become dehydrated. So polyps polyps tend to form where there's more dehydration.
Right. All right, I'm gonna I'm going to pass this on to my friend and probably get him to come in to see you, because okay. he deserves some help. He's a great guy.
Well, thanks, Mr. Mac. I'll call you Mr. Mac. That's close enough. Hey, thank you very much.
I appreciate that. All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. If I can, I want to read this to you. This comes from Russell Blaylock, MD. He's written a book called Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills. And these are his words right here. What if someone were to tell you that a chemical added to your food could cause brain damage in your children, and that this chemical could affect how your children's nervous system formed during the development, so that in later years they may have learning or emotional difficulties? What if there was scientific evidence that these chemicals could damage critical part of your brain known to control hormones, so that later in life your child might have endocrine problems? How would you feel? Suppose evidence was presented to you strongly suggesting that the artificial sweetener in your diet soft drink may cause brain tumors to develop, and the number of brain tumors reported since the widespread introduction of this artificial sweetener has risen dramatically. Would that affect your decision to drink these products, and especially to allow your children to drink them? What if you could be shown overwhelming evidence that one of the main ingredients in this sweetener, that's called aspartame, could cause the same brain lesions as MSG, that's known as monosodium glutamate? Would that affect your buying decisions? And finally, what if it could be demonstrated that all these types of chemicals, they're called excitotoxins, could possibly aggravate or even precipitate many of the neurodegenerative brain diseases such as Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or ALS, and Alzheimer's? Would you be concerned if you knew that these excitotoxin food additives are a particular risk? If you've ever had a stroke, a brain injury, a brain tumor, a seizure, or you've suffered from hypertension, diabetes, meningitis, or viral encephalitis? I would think that all of us would be more than just concerned to learn that well-known, powerful brain toxins were being added to our food and drink to boost sales. We would be especially upset to learn that these additives have no other purpose than to enhance the taste of food and the sweetness of various diet products. You would also be upset to learn that many of these brain lesions in your children are irreversible and can follow a single exposure of sufficient concentration of either aspartame or MSG. But that ain't the way it is, folks. It's all day long, every day. And I would bet that you would be incredulous to learn that the food industry disguises many of these excitotoxin additives so that they will not be recognized. In fact, many foods that are labeled no MSG not only contain MSG, but also contain other excitotoxins of equal potency. That comes from the book Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills by Russell Blaylock. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're very, very welcome.
I have a question. Magnesium lactate is almost like a miracle thing to me.
Why do you say that?
Well, you gave it to me, over 20 years ago.
Oh.
And I've been
just
doing
20?
It more than that, probably. Maybe 25, maybe. But I've been doing it all those years, and I need to tell you at some point later how much that has helped me and what it has cured in my life. Now, I recommend it to people all the time, and a woman asked me, what is the lactate in magnesium? And why? So I'm asking you, Dr. Roy, can you tell me what that is?
Okay.
So I can tell people more about
it. You know what the word lactation means. It refers to a mother nursing her child, basically.
Right.
And there's another term called lacto-fermented food. So that's one of the reasons why I'm such a huge fan of lacto-fermentation. I'm just playing on the word lactose. So if you went to the grocery store in the refrigerated section and you purchased what's called wild brine or Bubby's sauerkraut, that's
right.
lacto-fermentation. And so that stuff is golden. It's food-based nutrition. So that's what magnesium lactate is. It's really a food-based nutrient. It hasn't been stripped mined from the surface of the earth. So if I stripped mined magnesium, like magnesium oxide, and gave it to you, you might have a tummy ache. But plants and fermentation, like bacteria, they transform magnesium into a form that's more agreeable to the body. So that's what magnesium lactate is. It's a more agreeable food-based form of magnesium that's easy for your body to uptake and assimilate and utilize. Because that's the bottom line when it comes to health. It's whatever you can digest and absorb and assimilate. So, for example, I think a couple of weeks ago, I talked about anybody that has a hard time digesting food, they would be so much better off if they just only took maybe one forkful of raw sauerkraut and they ate that before the meal. That would greatly help open up how their body digests the nutrients. What would it be like if you had a big plate of lasagna for breakfast and it stayed in your stomach all day long and your stomach was boiling and churning and uncomfortable? That'd be misery, wouldn't it?
Right.
So you're just taking a form of magnesium, which is essential to all living cells in the human body, that's going to be more food-based. So that's your answer.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much.
Yes, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you. Tell me one thing it's helped you with.
Well, let me say this, and this is true. I cured myself of rheumatoid arthritis with it.
Oh my goodness, that's not a small statement.
That sent me to the hospital, and I was in the hospital a week. And then I came home. They wanted to put me on. You wouldn't believe. I wouldn't take it, even in the hospital. And but someday when I come in to see you, I'm coming in soon. I haven't been in a while, so I will tell you what it has done for me. And
beautiful. Well, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate you very much.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great day, ma'am.
Later.
All righty. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
I bet you I know what they recommended to her. They probably recommended methotrexate, which is a form of chemotherapy. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Okay. Dr. Morgan.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for your call.
Yes. I have a customer that brings me like fish. Well, after he goes fishing and cleans his fish, he brings me all the fish parts and bones and heads and everything, and I'd like to make my own fish broth. How do I do that?
Well, there's a book called Nourishing Traditions by Sally Fallon. They've got a whole bunch of different recipes, but I can tell you how to do it. If you had a big stainless steel pot that was maybe, I don't know, 14 quarts. But you can just load up everything in that, fish heads and all.
Yeah, even the guts.
Yeah, well, you can, yeah, and you're just trying to get the... Now, this is not meant to be a joke right here, but let me tell you just a brief story. There was a very famous researcher by the name of Dr. Francis Pottinger. And back in the 1930s and 40s, he was over these tuberculosis sanitariums, which I know you know what that is. That's a place that people go when they've been tested positive for TB, and they have to be quarantined because they're sick.
Yeah, I've been a hairdresser for 51 years and always have to be tested for TB.
Oh, there you go.
Now, you can work with AIDS, but you can't work with TB.
Well, you know what? TB is one way that you can wreck your immune system. I know, you would think with the other it would be also.
Yeah.
But anyway, what he did was they had to take the adrenal glands from living cats in order to produce cortisone or prednisone. That's the way it used to be made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly how they do it now, but I'm going to try to find out. But he noticed that when they gave raw guts from like a cow that they were butchering or from a chicken to the cats, they always lived and they thrived and they had beautiful offspring and beautiful kittens.
Mm-hmm.
So people have been making things like chitlins, and I took my son to this little Hispanic grocery store here in Jacksonville, and we're looking at this. It's got a big thing of tripe right there under the glass window, and I'm going, hey, son, you know what that is? It's just like the stomach of a cow.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what people used to eat to give them great, great strength and endurance. Mm-hmm. And so if you take the guts, obviously they've been washed first, or the liver,
mm-hmm.
you could do all that. But you're getting all the nutrients from the bones and the joints and the cartilage and tendons and ligaments and skin.
Mm-hmm.
This is phenomenal. But, yeah, you can do all that.
Okay, so do I boil it slow?
Yes, you do.
A long time?
And you could eat, yes, ma'am, you do. And what you can do is you can cut up parsley and cilantro, and you could put carrots and all the celery that you want. I don't even care if you put onions and garlic in there.
Yeah.
You're trying to make it very...
Everything.
Oh, absolutely. If you want, do you want to be like one of those rats that were deprived of taste? You'll die. But yeah, you can make your own fish broth.
Okay, so then I can just put it, bag it up and freeze it.
That's right. That way when you want to make a soup of some kind, hey, you're ready to go.
Yeah, well, I do my chicken and my beef that way, but I'm just wondering about the fish. Okay, another quick question. I called a few weeks ago and told you about my severe hair loss, and you said to have a ferritin test, so I went and had that done. Can I read it off to you?
Absolutely.
Things. Okay, the iron was, my iron was 61.
What was the ferritin?
Well, I don't know.
Because that's the marker that when ferritin starts to fall 40 or below,
mm-hmm.
that's when a woman starts having hair loss.
Yeah. Well, and then it says iron binding capacity, and that's 313. I don't know what that means.
Well, what is the ferritin level?
I don't know.
And the reason I'm asking is because
that
tells
you... Yeah, well, they've only got three things. They've got iron saturation down here, and it says 19 with an arrow going down. So I don't know what the ferritin...
Well, does that mean it's low?
Yes, I guess
okay,
so.
Okay, well, then that would be a clue. So one of the standard other tests is... RDW or red cell distribution width, when that's elevated, that's a sign of low iron. You can also look at hematocrit. Do you by chance consume aspirin at all?
No, sir, I don't do. The only thing I do is occasional blood pressure pill and insulin. I don't do any chemicals, none whatsoever.
Okay.
I don't even eat anything with chemicals in it.
How about a Happy Meal? Do you eat those?
No, sir.
Oh,
no, I don't eat out.
Okay.
Mm.
You're smart. This is your ticket to keeping on taking care of people.
Yeah.
So that's a clue that you're low in iron. And so one of the things that used to be done 100 years ago was just use blackstrap molasses.
Yeah, and I put that, that blackstrap molasses leads to another subject. I used to put a teaspoon of it in my coffee, but now I can't drink coffee anymore because you said don't drink coffee before noon. And I'm trying my best not to eat only between noon and 5 o'clock.
Well, how about we give you some dandelion tea?
Well, I take dandelion capsules.
Well, the molasses is what you need.
Yeah.
And actually, everything you need to build your blood right now and your hair
mm-hmm.
is going to come from like a T-bone steak or grass-fed red meat.
Okay. Well,
did I just hear you complain slightly with your attitude? No, do you like to eat stuff like red meat?
Well, yeah, but not in the form of a steak. I like it ground up.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's perfectly
yeah,
fine. No problem there.
Yeah. And then I have another quick question about my... I'm a diabetic, obviously, but anyway. And I had some blood work done. And, of course, my A1C is 7.8, and I've repented over that. But no matter what I do, my cholesterol will not hardly move off of... 296. It just hovers between 275 and 296. I've been working on this for 30 years, and it just won't hardly move.
And you know that cholesterol is one of the greatest repair molecules in the human body?
Yeah.
So well, I was trying to keep in good repair.
I'm just not going to do it. I'll just die of high cholesterol, I guess. But
I don't think so. I think you're going to live with high cholesterol, honestly.
Well, and then at about 20-something years ago, my triglycerides were like 635, and I got it down to 306, but I understand that's still too high, but it just won't hardly move.
Well, let me just run this past you right here. If you would go for a short walk mm-hmm. in the morning and then a short walk in the evening mm-hmm. and you had a feeding window of 6 hours, which means you eat two meals a day. Now, my preference would be that you get one big honking green salad in there because I want to flood your body with all these alkaline ash minerals. Mm-hmm. That would do it. Mm-hmm. And so if you just had meat and vegetables only and you took Gymnema, your triglycerides will go from 300 to 150 in about 10 days.
Well, I do take Gymnema, but I don't take it as regular as I should.
Your triglycerides will go from 300 to 150 in 10 days.
Oh, well, then I should take that at every meal.
Your triglycerides will go from 300 to 150 in 10 days.
Okay, regardless.
Are you convinced yet?
Yeah.
No, if you, it's principles. Just follow these foundational principles and you'll get there. This is easy.
And like I say, I'm trying to eat between noon and 5 o'clock.
That's smart. Very
and,
smart.
But man, I'll tell you, not having any coffee, that's just woo.
Well, then have your coffee with your first meal of the day.
At noon?
Yes.
I probably wouldn't go to sleep for 3 weeks.
Well, probably not. Oh. No, it'd probably be fine. Put it to the test. Have a small cup of coffee. Add cream to it if you can tolerate cream.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Coconut milk, whatever you want.
Don't really do. The only dairy I do is real butter and egg and fresh eggs. But
That sounds horrible. For two eggs over easy with an avocado cooked in butter. Well, I'll take it.
Okay, and quickly here, I'm trying not to take up too much of your time.
Well, I would rather fix a problem and take time than not fix a problem and jump around.
Well, you're just a wealth of information. I wouldn't dream of missing your show, but my LDL is 184.
It's inconsequential, I can tell you right now, and I know where you're coming from. You've been fed a narrative that cholesterol is the almighty God. It needs to be worshipped, bowed down to, corrected, given drugs for. That's a big bunch of baloney. Your LDL is up for one reason. It's trying to fix and heal your body, and that's what it's trying to do.
Okay. And what is ALT? Now, mine is 21, but I can never remember.
Well, that's a liver enzyme. So when ALT becomes elevated, that's when your liver is inflamed or you got hepatitis or infection or you got fatty liver, something like that. Mm. But most likely, you have a fatty liver, and so what we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage it to heal. So if you walk twice a day and just eat two meals of meat and vegetables, you're going to turn this around really, really fast.
Well, I'm a hairdresser, so I hardly ever sit down. I'm constantly walking around. But anyway,
okay.
I know
well,
I need
okay. Well, that's,
my
that's,
heart rate up.
All right. If you want to focus on that, that's fine. There's nothing I can do about that. But I'm telling you to go for 2 30-minute walks a day.
Okay.
If you do that, all you can do is put it to the... Hey, do it and call me next week and call me a liar.
And
I'm wrong.
What is microalbumin?
Uh-huh. Albumin is the main transportation protein of your blood or your plasma. So, like, for example, somebody goes to the plasma center to donate plasma. Albumin is one of the main things they want. And so usually when you look at a standard blood test and they measure your albumin levels, the most intelligent, longest-lived people on the planet, their albumin's almost always 4.5 to 5. As a matter of fact, IQ seems to go up when albumin goes up.
Mm.
Now, that's my IQ is real low, and it's at 4. I'm just joking about that, but microalbumin is going to tell me if your kidneys are leaking or not.
Okay.
And so when that goes up, we got some kidney issues that need to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, it says something about microalbum random 48, and then there's a microalbur 4.8.
Well, they're leaking.
Okay.
That means your kidneys are leaking, and so... High blood sugar mm-hmm. is what's the biggest culprit in the problem. By the way, you know what cholesterol is made out of? It's made out of sugar.
Oh, really?
It is, yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, and so it's constantly.
Well, but we can fix this. I had a gentleman that's 79 years old, very, very severe neuropathy, very hard, difficult for him to walk. I mean, everything that you would tell me is probably easy. He would say it's hard. Mm-hmm. He called me the other day and says, Dr. Morgan, guess what? I said, what is it? He said, I'm completely non-diabetic. Now I'm going, dude, way to go. He did these very things, and it reversed his diabetes in 1 month.
Wow. That's simple enough. And the creatinine random urine was 148.
That you got advanced kidney disease. I'm not trying to be negative. So when they check your creatinine and that's high, you've got kidney problems.
Okay.
So if you go for a walk in the morning, here's what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to greatly increase blood flow mm-hmm. with its albumin to start scrubbing your body clean.
Mm-hmm.
I know you move all day long, and I'm so thankful for that. I think that you're a great, great woman.
Mm-hmm.
But if you set your mind that you're going to go for a walk in the morning and then again in the evening mm-hmm. and just eat two meals a day, mm-hmm. that's going to go a long way to creating a situation to heal all this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for all I know,
mm-hmm.
maybe all your blood work will look amazingly better in 2 weeks just by doing these things.
Well, I'm going to claim that name, Lord Jesus Christ. It says the creatinine serum is 0.79.
Mm-hmm. That's a good number.
And I don't know what the GFRMDRD non...
Well, here's what it means. If it says 100, that means your kidneys are working 100% efficiency. That would be great.
That's 73.
That means your kidneys are working at 73% efficiency.
Okay.
So there's damage to the kidneys if it's 73.
Okay. So what does GFRMDRDAFEMER mean?
Well, AF stands for African.
Uh-huh.
American stands for American, so African-American, that means someone that has dark skin.
Mm-hmm.
So the machine is calibrated one way for African-American and one way for non-African-Americans.
Mm.
So which one are you, African-American or non-African-American?
Non-African-American.
So what was the number for the non-African-American?
73.
73?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's some damage to the kidneys, and mm-hmm. GFR stands for glomerular filtration rate.
Oh.
It's an extremely precise marker. I love it, mm-hmm. but yours can be improved. Yours is not horrible.
Okay.
It's not. There's room for improvement, though.
Well, that's pretty minor, taking Jim Neiman and walking, so that's very doable.
There you go. That's a spirit.
You like to walk.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect.
Yeah, I'm on my fifth treadmill, so we like them.
You mean you've worn them out?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Where do you live, by the way? In Texas?
Mineola.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I hear...
Okay. Well, Dr. Morgan, okay. You've been such a great help, and I'm not going to keep you any longer. And Lord bless you richly.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. Have a good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. And let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. This is Dr. Morgan. How are you today?
Morning, Dr. Morgan. I'm doing well.
Good.
I got issue with fingernails.
Oh, no. What are they doing?
Well, I've had fingernail issues most of my adult life, I guess. And recently, I took a drug. I'm going to spell it because I cannot pronounce it. FLUCONAZOLE, 150 milligrams. I took that for a year for fingernail fungus.
Yeah.
And it's been at least 9 months ago, I guess, since I stopped taking it, and the fingernails haven't changed.
You know what I'm going to recommend to you is something totally different than that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, number one, and I realize the way I'm saying this is probably not going to make sense, but just play along like it does, okay? The fungus has a very hard time growing in the nail beds when you get plenty of oxygen there. So there's a type of oil that you can get. It looks like kind of it's thicker than Vaseline. It's called ozonated oil. You ever heard of that before?
No, sir.
I don't have the article in front of me, but I read an article years ago about using ozonated sunflower seed oil.
Okay. Sunflower.
But if you were to go, for example, go on a website and just type in ozonated oils, you'll come up everything from ozonated castor oil, olive oil, sunflower seed oil. You can get, what's the other oil out there? Just whatever oil's out there. They can ozonate it. This stuff is tremendous. If you got a little bit of, here's what I think you need. I think if you had a little, they're stiff bristle fingernail brushes. Have you ever seen those before?
Yeah, I have one of those.
They got, I don't know if it's like a stiff boar's hair or what, but you could like scrape the paint off a car with them. But if you took a boar's hair nail brush Just start scrubbing your nails every single day to stimulate oxygenation.
Okay.
After you're through with that, start rubbing on this ozonate oil. And I have one at my office. I want to say it's like ozonate olive oil. But when you open the lid on that, I mean, the ozone is just oozing out of it. What they do is they pump oxygen and ozone through a diffuser into the oil, and it makes the oil impregnated with oxygen. It's really a cool, cool deal. I mean, yes, if I had a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, I would say, hey, Mr. Smith, go inside this chamber real quick and take a look at it. And as soon as you go in there, I'd shut the door and the hatch and make it slam shut. But I would crank it up to pure oxygen under like maybe 5 atmospheres of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And that would probably heal your body. I mean, oxygen is the greatest healing remedy of all time. So if I can't put you in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, I've got to bring the oxygen to you. So the ozonate oil is one of the things that's been shown to be very, very effective against nail fungus.
Okay. Would the granary have that kind of thing?
I don't know, but it'd be so easy to call and ask them.
Yes.
If they don't, you could easily go online and just type in ozonate oil.
Okay.
And you'll find a whole bunch of websites of people that make it and provide it. You got nothing to lose by trying it, but you're just trying to dissolve oxygen on top of the fungus.
Okay.
Which I feel sorry for the fungus now, because what's going to happen to it once you kick it out? Where is it going to go and live? Who cares?
Yes, sir. Okay, well, I'll give all this stuff a try.
Yeah, you betcha. Let me know how it works out.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I would venture that you'll have to do this several times a day, maybe for a couple of months, just to start to get the fungus to move out. Sometimes nails don't grow real fast. Another element, I saw a picture of it yesterday. It almost looks kind of like a red-purple color. It's iodine. Sometimes iodine can work wonders for that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Morgan. I was wondering what you could do for hot flashes in someone over 70 years of age.
Okay, there is a gland at the base of the brain, or the center of the brain. Sometimes it's called the heart of the brain. It's called the hypothalamus. If the hypothalamus becomes either damaged or poisoned or weakened, or it just wears down, it's very, very easy to have this difficulty in responding to estrogen and progesterone properly. It's called the hypothalamus. So one of the things that I'll try to see if it works is just give a person hypothalamus extract that comes from a calf.
Okay.
And so that's very easy to try and see if you can bring the hypothalamus back online, because that's the number one gland in your body that monitors and regulates all hormone secretions.
How much would I take?
Probably 2 small tablets for starters. If somebody had a real severe issue, the product is called Hypothalamus PMG, like Paul Matthew Gordon. There's no apostle named Gordon, by the way. I just made that up. But there is a Paul and Matthew.
Okay, and that would be standard process, probably.
Yeah, that's the one that I've used a lot of. And so for the moderate cases, 2 tablets usually gets the job done. 4 tablets for the severe cases. Sometimes I can use iodine very, very successfully. I'm not 100% sure what the mechanism is on iodine, but here's the way I look at it. Never underestimate what happens to the body when you give it exactly what it needs to function properly.
Yes, sir.
So
yes.
You could always try that right there. Another thing that can be used is you can find what's called gluten-free wheat germ oil. They just make sure that there's no gluten or gliadin or wheat products in the oil.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just wheat germ oil. Sometimes that is fabulous at helping a woman kind of rebalance her female hormones.
Uh-huh. Okay.
From the herbal kingdom, you're looking at black cohosh or dong quai.
Okay. And so, I think I can get that at the granary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. One other thing, the gentleman that that called earlier about the polyps, my mother suffered. She was a polyp maker.
Oh, no.
And so, consequently, I followed in her footsteps a little bit, but a gentleman told me years ago to take MarjiCare, and I've been taking three of those every day.
Now, what are the ingredients?
In the MarjiCare?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know.
I don't either off the top of my head. I'm just curious if you did.
But I've been taking that, and the last time I had my colonoscopy, there were no polyps.
Oh, good. Now, how do I spell ModuCare?
ModuCare.
Okay, I actually spelled that one right. I knew there with me there was a 50-50 chance I could spell it with a Z or an X somewhere. So, good. I'm going to look that up.
Yes, yes. I think it was originally from a company in Canada, and Wakanaga. They either bought the rights or either they just took over, selling it for them in the U.S.
Now, when you say Wakanaga, do you mean Lake Wakanaga?
No, this is Wakanaga Company. It's a Japanese company, but okay. They're in California.
Okay, very, very good.
It's Kyolic. That's the people that make Kyolic.
Ah, there you go.
So, all the garlic.
See, isn't that interesting? What we're doing is we're using a sulfur-based product.
Okay.
After I got off the phone with that gentleman a while ago, in my mind, I kind of thought, the most potent, powerful antioxidant that's made in the human body is called glutathione. It's just incredible. And actually, that's one of the theories that's going around right now that they're trying to prove. What they're saying is the people that have absolutely the worst go with the COVID-19 or the people that die, it's the people that have very low levels of glutathione. And so they know that when you consume garlic has sulfur in it, eggs has sulfur in it, asparagus and kale and, let me see, what else, onions and garlic, that's all sulfur right there. But they know there is a substance, there's an amino acid called N-acetylcysteine. What they use this for medically is if somebody showed up at the ER and they've overdosed on Tylenol and they're in a liver failure, that's what they give them. They give them N-acetylcysteine. It comes from one of the sources. It's garlic. I don't know if you know this, but Amazon.com, they pulled all N-acetylcysteine from selling on their website because it competes with other COVID-19 treatments to lower symptoms. But there's a study going on showing that N-acetylcysteine is almost vastly superior to every other drug known to man at curing COVID-19 symptoms. I'm going, there you go, leave it to something natural. But I thought about using that to maybe dissolve polyps anywhere in the body.
Mm-hmm. And that probably could work.
Yeah. Well, if it can reverse liver failure from, Tylenol 3 overdose, it could probably cure almost anything. Actually, see, legally, you can't say it cures anything. I'm sorry I said that. But I meant that as a figure of speech, if it helps assist the body in healing itself. But that's the thing about natural ingredients. You can't claim a cure. That's where the Food and Drug Administration says the only thing that we can claim that cures anything is a drug. So you want to cure high cholesterol? Well, the cure is called Zocor or Lipitor or Crestor. So I'm going to look up the ModuCare.
Fantastic.
Yeah, thank you for helping me out.
Oh, well, you have a blessed day and a great weekend.
You too. I appreciate you so much. You have a great day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, there's some time left. 903-586-5257. All right, let me type in ModuCare. Let's see what I come up with here. Okay, Kyolic ModuCare Daily Immune Support. All right, I'm going to type on that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. How can I help you?
Am I really speaking to the doctor?
Yes, you are. I'm so happy that you called. You made my day.
Well, I just have tried to get in, and I've never got in before, so I was shocked.
Well, hey, This is your time. Let's use it.
I was wanting to know, let me turn my radio down.
Thank you very much.
I can hear you two places.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm getting there.
There you go. Just turn it off and we'll be good.
What's probably the most important today, I've got lots of problems, but this one is really worrying me, and it's my eye. And my eyes, I've been diagnosed with, what's it called, macular degeneration?
Yes, ma'am, macular. Mm-hmm.
Is that where there's wet and dry both?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Okay. And I was wondering, I had heard, a friend had told me, you said one time that you could use wheat germ?
Yeah, wheat germ oil. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Right in your eye?
Well, you take it orally.
Oh, you take it by mouth?
Yes, ma'am, exactly. That's right.
Oh. You don't put it in your eye?
No, ma'am.
Oh, you take it, about how much would you take?
Well, usually I use these little bitty gelatin-based pearls. They're not real big. They're like teeny tiny footballs. I usually use about six of those a day.
Oh, six a day?
Mm-hmm. They're not huge. It's not like big horse pills or cod liver oil.
So you can't take the oil itself?
You can take the oil itself, but the reason I do it that way... excuse me, is because they're sealed from oxygen, because the oxygen oxidizes everything.
Right.
So once the oil's been separated from the wheat germ, it will start the process of oxidizing. So what
else can you use wheat germ oil for? Because I bought a big bottle of it.
Well, it's one of the old school superfoods when you're trying to make people stronger. So wheat germ oil, historically, has been used to greatly augment or improve or strengthen female hormones. So if a woman had a lower production of female hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, wheat germ oil, that's where you need like fiber. Fiber and probiotics lower too much when there's too much estrogen. Anyway, the best thing of all time that I've ever seen for macular is number one, start walking every day, because you've got to get more oxygen to the eye if you want to stop.
Right now,
it.
I'm in cardiac rehab three times a week.
Okay, excellent.
So it's probably going to help me a lot.
It's going to help you a whole lot
since March the 5th.
But the number one product that I've seen, and I hate to say it this way, because certain people that would listen will want to catch me in making a health claim. I'm not really trying to do that, but I've seen capsules of just organically grown kale and Brussels sprouts completely reverse the macular.
Brussels sprouts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one lady that I saw recently came to my office, and yes, she was very terrified. I did my best not to add insult to injury and make her feel bad, but she said, hey, this is bad. They want to put shots in my eye. They're going to stick a needle in there.
Mm-hmm.
And within like 4 weeks...
I have a friend that does that.
Well, within 4 weeks of taking the kale and Brussels sprout capsules...
Capsules? She goes,
yeah, they come in capsules. Well, that's just a consistent, easy way where you can direct targeted nutrition.
I like that.
But
idea.
I'm all for you eating Brussels sprouts and kale every day if you want to. That sounds great.
I don't
great
like
too.
Them.
But the capsules make it easy. So
She
goes back and she says, oh my goodness, Dr. Morgan, the ophthalmologist is telling me now that he made a great mistake, because he showed me the picture before. He showed me the new picture. He said there must have been some error. He didn't know how it happened. Anyway, I'm being a little bit sarcastic by saying that. But what really happened was healing. God has designed the body to heal itself, and we're so grateful for that. So
He certainly has. I've had a cancer for 22 years, but I'm cancer-free now. But I've had it off and on for 22 years, and I am a miracle from God.
You are. Praise be to God for what He's done for you. He's come to your aid. He's heard
your
prayer.
And I know that I can get this corrected. I've been listening to you for some time now. And
Want to take about 6 to 9 capsules of the product called Cruciferous Complete.
Let me write this down. Cruciferous.
It's Cruciferous.
Uh-huh.
Because kale and Brussels sprouts.
And what was the last
Complete.
Does that say that on the bottle or something?
Oh, yes, ma'am, it does.
Oh, good.
And so if you'll do that, now, what is the enemy of the macula? Well, that would be sugar.
Oh, I don't eat sugar.
The next one is crack cocaine. I'm just joking about that. I don't.
No,
either
I
one
don't.
Of those are bad for the.
What do you think about stevia?
I don't like it.
What would you use in place of it?
Well, the reason I don't care for stevia, it has a high concentration of what's called calcium oxalate, and I think that's hard on the kidneys. And so, if a person's using a lot of stevia, usually they're up all night going to the bathroom, like great. I just got up and went to the bathroom, and now I got to go again. What is the deal? That's probably the stevia. You might look at either raw honey, a little bit of it, or you might look at what's
called...
That
raises my sugar.
Okay, then monk fruit. You could try monk fruit.
Okay, I have some of that.
Or if you want sugar, I would probably approve of you having like a bowl of blueberries or a bowl of frozen cherries for a treat.
I use blueberries in my cereal.
You know, there's a huge difference between just plain refined sugar and like the sugar that's in a blueberry. White refined sugar has no vitamins, no minerals, no enzymes. It's got no nothing in it. So it just steals your nutrients from your body in order for it to be processed once you eat it. But if you eat a cherry or an apple or a blueberry.
I love apples.
Yeah.
I'm drinking your breakfast beets and carrots.
You know, I get a dollar commission every time somebody does this, don't you? I got the Carrot Growers Association. They've got me on retainer.
I tell you, I probably so, because I tell my children, too. I have three children. I have...
Which one's your favorite?
Child or what?
Yeah, which one's your favorite
child? I don't have a favorite, really.
Okay.
I also have 10 grandkids and four great-grandkids.
Oh, I am so happy for you. You've got such a great reason to be strong and radiant.
Yes, yes, and God's been good and allowed me to see this happen because I was 53 when I got cancer, and now I'm way up there, like in the 70s.
Well, how much longer would you like to keep going?
Till the Lord takes me home.
Good answer. So in the meantime, you are going to hit the ground running on this cruciferous vegetables, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
And if you don't do what I say, I'm going to come steal all your blueberries to teach you a lesson.
Oh, well. Well, I really appreciate all the information
that
you give us. And I've got my kids listening to you, too.
Oh, now I know why you wouldn't choose a favorite. It's all coming together now.
But they're listening, too. They're like, Dr. Roy said so-and-so this morning. Like, yes.
Oh, okay. I'll be on my better behavior now that you're saying that. Well, I thank you so much for your phone call, and I'm willing to...
Well, thank you so much.
You may not realize this. You're welcome. But you may have helped a lot of people just by talking about that topic, because it is the leading cause of blindness in North America.
It is. I have the lady that told me about it in the first place, that even told me about you, is 92, and she is having trouble with her eyes, really. And she was wanting to find that out, too, so she'll be excited.
Oh, good. Well, thank you again so much.
Thank you
have
you
a great
so
weekend.
Much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.